is what powers residential home systems, commercial buildings, and photovoltaic power plants. The solar energy industry is very diverse in the production or upstream segment. There's a concentration of a few large players. While the number of companies increases significantly, the farther downstream the value chain. Generally, there's three types of companies in that industry. The first being independent solar power specialists. The second being electronics companies and semiconductor manufacturers like SolarWorld, Solaix, Sharp, and Mitsubishi. Energy companies, BP and Shell is a couple examples. CB Richard Ellis, as the largest commercial real estate service provider in the world, has had an active role in assisting a lot of these solar companies throughout various stages of their facilities programs, including site selection. I was on a conference call recently with several of my colleagues, and we were kind of going over a lot of the attributes that these solar companies look for in the sites that they seek to locate. Primary indicators are size, anywhere from 30 to 70 acres, availability of labor, and abundant power at competitive rates. All these things really kind of come together at Colwood, and there's a great opportunity, as we've heard, to capture a lot of these types of jobs. Thanks.
My name is Tony Reeser. I'm an industrial realtor with GVA Kidder Matthews, and I've been engaged in the sale and lease of real estate in the Columbia Corridor for 24 years. During that period of time, I've watched the area evolve from berry patches and bean fields to the preferred destination for industrial companies in metropolitan Portland. Unfortunately, we've come to the point where there's a critical shortage of developable industrial land. If you run a survey in the Columbia Corridor now, you'll find a smattering of sites of 2 to 10 acres, which would be suitable smaller user sites. In sites in excess of 20 acres, there'd be no more than 5. And 2 of the largest sites would be in Rivergate Industrial District, 108-acre site, and then the former Reynolds Metal site in Troutdale. The Rivergate site's challenging because the land is available on a ground lease basis only. That proves problematic for those companies, solar companies, other types of manufacturing companies, the one that want to own their own facilities. The Reynolds site is currently undergoing environmental remediation and construction of infrastructure improvements, and so it's probably not going to be available for development for 12 to 18 months. Given its size, Colwood is a unique opportunity. It can facilitate the construction of buildings in excess of 200,000 square feet, and as Colin Sears and some of my predecessors have indicated, that dovetails well with the solar companies and the primary metal fabrication companies that both the State of Oregon and Portland Development Commission are seeking to attract to the area. It's also among the best attributes are its accessibility to I-5, I-205, I-84 freeways and the Portland Airport. I would ask you to rezone this land to industrial so we can have a viable inventory of developable industrial sites, not only for new companies that want to move to our area, but also for existing companies that want to expand. There are any number of existing recreational opportunities, kayaking, canoeing, et cetera, available in the Columbia Corridor. Unfortunately, we have a woefully inadequate supply of industrial land.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mary? Good evening, Commissioners. My name is Marion Haynes, and I'm representing the Portland Business Alliance. Our board of directors discussed this and voted to not only support but strongly support the proposal before you. We believe it represents a balance. The economic development opportunities of this site are unique and irreplaceable. That we do have a lack of industrial land within the city of Portland, as we've heard. There was a recent infrastructure report done by Metro, which indicates that the greatest return on investment we can have is using the sites within the urban growth boundary and doing the infill. And this site really represents a unique opportunity to do that, given its proximity to multimodal transportation infrastructure. The Columbia Boulevard is a designated truck street in the city's freight master plan, and its proximity to the airport is unique. We learned in our 2005 cost of congestion study that air cargo is actually the fastest growing mode of all freight shipments. It's expected to grow at about 300% over the next 20 years, which is significant. The site also would provide for approximately or close to 2,000 jobs. Whether those are manufacturing or in the distribution and logistics related fields, those are family wage jobs and those that we should be looking to support within the city. So the Portland Business Alliance strongly supports amending the comprehensive plan and zoning code designation for this site. It will provide significant economic development opportunities and jobs, which will in turn support other core city services through the tax revenue that's generated. Given the surrounding uses, the need for industrial land, job creation potential, and access to multimodal freight transportation facilities, the Alliance urges the city to adopt this change. Thank you.
Thank you. Call the next three, sir.
And the last two are John Molas and Robert Butler.
Is there anybody in the audience who did not sign up in advance but wishes to testify on behalf of the applicant? Okay, welcome. Please have a seat. And we'll start with you, John, if you can just state your name for the record. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you. Good evening, commissioners. My name is John Molas. I'm the executive secretary treasurer for the Columbia Pacific Building Trades Council, which is an umbrella organization for approximately 20,000 union construction workers in Northwest Oregon and Southwest Washington. Like probably everybody else in this room, I wear more than one hat, and I just want to make it clear tonight that my testimony is on behalf of the Building Trades Council tonight. Our council wishes to go on support strongly in favor of the applicant's proposal for the comprehensive plan amendment and zone change to EG2. We feel one of the main challenges that Portland faces today is ensuring there is enough industrial land available to provide the jobs that Portland, and particularly the Cully neighborhood, sorely needs. Especially with the tough economic times that we're facing, our council strongly supports the need for more industrial land that will help provide good opportunities for family wage jobs with benefits. Our affiliates collectively have many members that live in the Cully neighborhoods. These folks are individuals that enjoy the outdoors, they hunt, they fish, they appreciate and support parks, but at the end of the day, jobs are probably the most important issue that is on their plate. And we feel this is a good balanced approach that provides for more parklands and will still provide economic growth and family wage jobs. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Can I have just 25 seconds?
No.
Okay.
State your name first for the record.
Robert Butler. I'm the president of Butler Brokers Incorporated. We're commercial industrial realtor since 1980. When I read the reasons for denial, the applicants did not invite me here for good reason. And I haven't talked to the applicants about this at all, period, in terms of this appeal. Anyway, when I read the hearings officer denial, something just hit me right in the face, which was, why did he say that? Why did he say that part of the reason for denial is the fact that industrial development on this golf course will degrade the water quality, which will that in turn degrade the slough? I don't think you have to be an expert to know that in Portland, that doesn't happen. It's virtually impossible. When you compare someone who's putting herbicides and pesticides on 80-plus acres of lawn, compare that to industrial development. Are you aware of your code? Industrial development? You have so much water retention, water treatment, water runoff, water purification. It improves the slough. The water is improved by any development because of the code here in Portland. And how could anyone, including the staff person that says it would degrade the water, how could they even think that? Now, I'm speaking as an industrial realtor for the last 30 years, lots of experience with developers, and I can say that our code requires improvement of water quality. There's no option. Incidentally, my older friends here said they've been doing this for 24 years. I go back to 1984. I was one of the original founders, Columbia Corridor Association. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so we will next hear from the two neighborhood associations, Concordia and Cully. If those representatives will come forward. Okay, so you have a total of 15 minutes. You can divide the time up however you see fit, but it's all yours. Just please give us your name for the record.
Cool. We'll start with Kathy down here.
Kathy Furstenow, 4930 Northeast 73rd, Portland, Oregon. On behalf of the Cully Association of Neighbors, I encourage you to uphold the hearings officer's recommendation to deny the applicant's request to rezone the Cowood Golf Course from open space to general industrial. The hearing officer states that he finds that the open space environmental policies in this case can and should be given priority over the economic development policies. Today you will hear many speakers and organizations advocate for the current OS designation, and justly so. I will focus my testimony on why the industrial zone designation is not appropriate for this site. Zone change requests traditionally occur when there is a proposed development. The applicant has not identified any specific development as part of this proposal. The Bureau of Developmental Services staff advises that the proposed sale of the northern 48 acres of the site to the Port of Portland is only relevant in that the Airport Future Projects has included this portion in the study boundary. Therefore, any statements regarding future airport facility expansion, the applicant finalizing a purchase and sale agreement with the port, or any discussions of further industrial development plans is also not relevant to approving this zone change. The applicant states that the Cowood site is located within a region that faces a growing need for suitable industrial sites and has reached a critical point. This is overstated. According to Debbie Bishop, City Portland Northeast District Planner, 11% of Cully is composed of vacant land, and 31% of the land may be redevelopable based on the building value of Metro 2004. Out of the 2008 total acres in Cully, 37% are employment industrial, while only 7% is open space. There is already a surplus of blighted and undeveloped industrial property along the Cully Boulevard that should be addressed before supporting new development. A 10-acre parcel on the southeast side of 75th and Killingsworth was rezoned in 2006 for industrial and has yet to be developed. The Cully neighborhood's poor infrastructure cannot support another large industry property. The BDS reports that there is no sewer connection, only an on-site septic sewer disposal system on the Cowood property, and does not recommend on-site stormwater management. At the time of future development, existing systems must be decommissioned and public sanitary off-site sewer connections must be provided. The result of having stormwater discharge into the Columbia Slough is an unacceptable solution. The Portland Department of Transportation identified a number of necessary intersection improvements to mitigate traffic impacts, but even with mitigation, industrial developments must be limited to address the Oregon Department of Transportation facilities. This zone change must address the transportation planning rule and show no significant effect. Otherwise, mitigation is required. There is significant effect, but the applicant could not agree with the city and ODOT on proposed mitigation actions. They did agree upon transportation intersection improvements, but these improvements would not begin until development occurs. So if parcels are sold, then who would be responsible for improvements, the new property owners or the current applicants? ODOT's concern regarding the applicant's proposed 0.27 rate per 1,000 square foot versus the recommended 0.47 trips per 1,000 square feet proposed for warehouse and freight movement should be duly noted. A September 12, 2008 letter to City Council from Elaine Smith, ODOT Planning Manager, advises that the analysis has shown that the industrial development on the Cowood site would generate traffic volumes what would be significantly affect the I-205 Killingsworth interchange. According to Martin Genswell of ODOT, ODOT will have no control over traffic generated with future development on this property if zoned industrial. if the developer gets a permit, then the city could not require them to do a traffic study. So how can the neighborhood and city be assured that the resulting traffic increases would be within the designated limits? They would not. The applicant suggests that this property is developable and would create 2,000 jobs. However, prohibited development includes commercial parking, retail sales, and service that includes drive-through facilities, offices over 25,000 square foot per site, and all accessory uses such as hotels and retails associated with truck stops. The port has stated that there would be no third runway for more than 30 years, so it is unlikely that any employment could be created in the northern portion for many, many years to come. All the limitations on this property makes it unsuitable for industrial zone designation. An open space zone for this area is more appropriate for the property that is in a floodplain, has traffic and development, and sewer and drainage restrictions. On April 7, 2008, the North and Northeast Business Association unanimously voted in opposition to the IG zone request and has written a letter asking that this request be denied. This business association understands the effect a change to an industrial zone would have on the future of this area and neighborhood. The goals of and objectives of the comprehensive plan, the Cully Neighborhood Plan, and Metro's Title 12 and 13 and statewide planning goals are not equally or more supportive of the zone change. Yeah. So I just want to finish up that this property is not shovel ready as the applicants would suggest. And let's see. I have one more thing I want to say. Oh, the Cully Boulevard Street improvements is going to happen next year. So that would make Cowood property more accessible. And here's something sort of that what it looked like. So you could connect the property from the Thomas Cully Park with Oversight Bridge or, you know, that way or down Cully Boulevard. So I would hope that the city would be willing to work together with the property owners and maybe get a fair price for the property and ensure continued OS designation. And so that would ultimately create a hole-in-one for all. But for now, I strongly urge you to reject the comprehensive plan amendment and zone change. Thank you.
Good evening, City Commissioners. My name is Bob Salinger. I'm the Conservation Director for the Audubon Society of Portland. I'm also here tonight representing the Coalition for a Livable Future and its 80 member organizations. We strongly urge you to reject the proposed zoning changes. The idea of a large park along the Columbia Slough is not a new idea. The Olmsted brothers talked about it in their 1902 report to the Parks Board. They suggested protecting hundreds, if not thousands, those numbers are theirs, of acres along the Columbia Slough as a, quote, entirely different type of landscape, which is made up of great stretches of meadowland bordering by diversified groves of trees. No other form of park has ever proved so attractive and so useful to the masses of the people as a meadow park. So they've had a very strong vision. And one of the things they recognized was that such a meadow park would allow for people to enjoy the land without destroying it and also enjoy the land without tripping over each other. They pointed those things out specifically. Lastly, they even noted that perhaps it might be a good place for a golf course, but that it might not remain economically viable over time, but we should probably try having one there, at least for the short term. So amazingly predictive in their comments. Sadly, we didn't follow that vision. We don't have that great meadow park, and this isn't just for the Cully neighborhood. This is for the entire region. We don't have that kind of amenity along the Columbia Slough, one of the great landscapes of this city. What we do have is one of the most park-deficient neighborhoods in the city, though, and a well-recognized need there. So this is not just for Cully, but it's needed at Cully. It's for the neighborhood. It's also for the environment, and really what I'm here to talk about is the environment. This is an important site. Not just the Goal 5 designated habitat or the stuff on the city inventory, but the entire thing. Those inventories capture the highest quality habitats, but there is a recognized need to connect those habitats, have giant anchor sites. And what we need along the slough is not just a corridor along its banks, but expansive areas around it that provide habitat for birds, nesting painted turtles, which are there, say, listed sensitive species. There are 8 species of bats there, one of the highest densities of bats anywhere. We have a water quality limited landscape. The Columbia Slough is listed for toxics, bacteria, temperature, eutrophication. It has incredible restoration potential. And finally, it provides an opportunity for enjoyment of nature, a place where people can go and enjoy things without destroying them. And one of the things that I find sort of offensive is this idea that we can cram everything into a very small linear landscape. We'll protect 22 acres along the slough, the most valuable habitat that we have there, and we'll also have trails, docks, recreational activities. If you do all those things in a very small area, you're not going to have any nature really left. You can't protect it and also use it at that kind of a high level. We hear a lot about the idea of balance and compromise. I think some of the most overused words in the English language when it comes to green space. What we're talking about here isn't balance or compromise. We have a heavily, heavily developed landscape with almost no real habitat anchor sites left. What we're talking about here is greenfield conversion. We're talking about taking one of the last large open spaces in one of the most open space deficient areas of the city and converting it for industrial use. So we're not here tonight to debate whether we need more industrial lands. We're here to debate whether it's appropriate to take this green space and convert it to industrial lands. We don't think it's balanced to do that. What we want is a real balance, a balance that will allow us to protect nature, allow people to enjoy it. We're very concerned about the Port of Portland and the fact that they haven't taken the third runway off the table. What they have done is said that they won't happen in the next 30 years, and we've been here before. We convert it to industrial, and then 30 years later, when it comes time to really debate the issue, we say, well, we made that decision 30 years ago. It's too late. I'm going to end there because we're short on time tonight, but I think the hearings officer got it exactly right when he talked about the fact that this is a unique and irreplaceable asset. We need to protect it for the livability, public health, wildlife, and to fulfill the Olmsted vision.
Thank you, Bob. My name is Tony Fuentes. I'm the co-chair of the Concordia Neighborhood Association. I've had the pleasure of meeting all of you in different forums, and I thank goodness that you're not fools. Mr. Janik says that Colwood would not remain as a golf course. This is not supported by any statements in the press by the landowner, most recently in the Tribune. Says there's a win-win because of the gift from the landowner of this 22 acres. Again, as stated by Mr. Lindbergh in the Tribune, 20 acres of that couldn't be developed anyway. It's hardly a gift. It's basically what cannot be converted to industrial use. Mr. Janik says that BDS supports the plan. That is incorrect. BDS said that at least parcel 4 should also be retained as open space. The Bureau of Environmental Services does not support this plan because of the substantial investments made into rehabilitating the Columbia Slough, which, contrary to what Mr. Butler says, has not benefited from industrial development nearby. The Columbia Slough is one of the most degraded water bodies in the state. It was the first water body in the state for which a TMDL was approved. And the most significant source of impairment is industrial stormwater. Converting this to industrial will just make that even worse. Mr. Janik says that ODOT and PDOT support this. That is an overstatement, at least. Both ODOT and PDOT have put huge constraints on what could actually be built here and have required a trip cap because of the impact of any development here on the I-205 Killingsworth interchange. Further, even that trip cap is a result of transferring development rights from the future Cully Park site to this site. And I would argue that those development rights are not free and should not be given away to any private landowner. They belong to the city, and the appropriate transfer of those rights would be to an area that's already appropriately zoned industrial, not an area that is open space. Mr. Janik and others have talked about 1,900 jobs, 2,000 jobs, 1,800 jobs, all sorts of jobs. Again, there's huge constraints on what's going to happen here, if it ever happens, because of the transportation infrastructure constraints, the stormwater constraints, and there's no way that 1,900 jobs are going to emerge here. It just is not in the cards. It's a gross overstatement of what's there. There has been, what are the costs and benefits of this? The applicant has been very big on toting some benefits, but none of the costs have been categorized at all. Costs such as pollution and externalities in terms of the effect of public health for neighbors nearby who are already suffering from some of the worst air pollution in the region, who are already enduring some of the most noise pollution in the region, and whose primary environmental asset nearby, the Columbia Slough, has been grossly degraded by existing industrial development. Mr. Janik cites a few case studies, but he ignores probably one of the most significant, which would be the Glendobier golf course, which was not rezoned primarily because it was viewed as a valuable asset to the city and to the neighborhoods. Mr. Janik also outlines a lot in terms of the Balancing Act, in terms of open space, but he completely ignores all the goals within the comprehensive plan, the statewide goals, Metro's goals, neighborhood goals with regards to environment and recreation, both of which were cited by the hearings officer within his report. Finally, in response to a question from Commissioner Adams, the gentleman from Channel Crow said there was a variety of reasons why Broadmoor would not be open to this kind of development. Every argument he put up for why Broadmoor would not be developable applies to this particular parcel, which is a little ironic to say the least. Overall, one of the biggest things here is that open space owned by a private company also has a value to the city, and that's applied within the comp plan, it's applied within the parks plan, it's applied within the statewide goals. Further, there has been a concerted effort on the part of the city to purchase the entire property, not merely parts of it. And it's understandable that with an offer on the table of $200,000 an acre from the port, that the landowner would want to walk away from a more reasonable offer with what the existing zoning is and what the current value is. However, that should not be the reason. This is not an appropriate use of a comprehensive plan amendment is to provide a windfall to a business owner. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Mr. Adams?
Just to ask the same question, if Broadmoor came up for, if a request came forward for Broadmoor to be rezoned for industrial, what might be your position on that?
The position would be the same. I think one of the issues here is that if any inch of this is rezoned industrial, it's precedent setting. For one thing, of course, it concedes the city's ability to shape what the port does in any way, shape, or form. The port, what we do know is the port wants to buy at least one-third of this property. They entered into that. They made that public record on April 9th. With regards to any kind of decision to rezone this industrial from open space, the kind of arguments that this would set a precedent with regards to rezoning other open space areas in throughout the city. Broadmoor would be one of them. That is the same type of situation that is not a Measure 49 claim. It is, you know, in compliant with the historical uses, and it is open space, which is protecting a unique environmental area.
I would just add to, you know, we talk about balancing on each one of these open spaces. We're not asking the same questions, for example, about T4 and T5. And I question whether the business community would see it as balancing if we said, well, you know, okay, let's take half of Colwood and develop it, but let's also take half of T5 and undevelop it since we have this need for open space. So I'm not sure why we feel that open space is something we can sacrifice when we have a deficit of that as well.
Thank you, sir.
Commissioner Fish?
Mr. Salinger, we have seven parcels that we're looking at.
Right.
And I understand your point about the entire aggregate has important environmental benefits and sensitivity. But are you able, can you rank for me in descending order the hierarchy of sensitivity as between all seven parcels?
I can. I mean, I can walk over the map and go have my numbers straight because they're sort of not in order. But what I would say is a general statement is the highest priority are the ones closest to the slough, surrounding the slough.
That's 3, 4, and 7, as I understand.
Right. And what we have is an opportunity here to create a gradient from Columbia Boulevard to the slough where you may have more active activities toward the road. Moving toward a more natural area, moving toward full protection as you get to the slough. And that's the kind of thing we need for people to truly enjoy nature. We don't really have good access to nature along that stretch of the slough, along much of the slough. And so what you have is an opportunity to fulfill a lot of different community needs. Too often we take our parks and we have a pure nature park and we have a pure recreational park. We don't have large multi-use parks that allow access to nature, but also allow it in a way that doesn't destroy it. And so what I see at Colwood that's very unique is the opportunity to have a gradient ranging from more active uses near the road to really good protection and access only really for nature appreciation when you get closer to the most sensitive areas. But we do need some uplands, too. We do a better job at protecting the riparian zones and the water areas than we do protecting the uplands. And a lot of the wildlife species we have in the city do depend on areas further away from water. And this property, in terms of restoration potential, is really unique for that purpose.
If I could just follow up on that. So I understand your argument with concerning parcels 3, 4, and 7,
right,
where the slough runs through. So would you just compare and contrast for me parcels 5 and 6 to the south and 1 to the north?
Well, they all have meadows. They have a variety of native and non-native vegetation. And so as you get further away, as you get away from the Goal 5 lands around the slough, you have a degraded quality about them, obviously a manicured landscape. But what you have there is restoration potential. So I'm not sure if I'm answering your question, but obviously the most important habitat is those riparian areas, both for water quality and for wildlife. As you move away, you have less intact habitat and more manicured landscape. But that's a landscape that's easily convertible to habitat if we wanted to do that. You also have over 500 trees on that property, which is pretty amazing. And at a time when the city is trying to set tree targets, that's a heck of a loss if you lose those 500 trees or a significant portion of them. In addition, I think we need to really think about what would be going in there. And industrial landscapes are not an improvement over greenfields when it comes to water quality, habitat, and so on. They may be better than some other possible uses like residential, which tends to be the worst for wildlife. But when it comes to protecting water quality, when you're sticking up parking lots and impervious surfaces and buildings, you can build them green, and we should be doing that on every site. But I think it's completely insane to suggest that somehow that would be better than having greenfields. It's certainly a step down, and it's a step down in a place where we have spent tens, really hundreds of millions of dollars trying to restore the water quality. This is a step backwards from that on a site that was set aside for the purpose of open space, whether it's in public or private ownership. So did I get to your question, though?
It's helpful. Thank you.
One thing I would just end with is, you know, we've heard that this isn't good for the neighborhood. I would ask the neighborhood to speak for itself, because I think we have a lot of people here from the neighborhood and the community as to whether they think this is a good place for a park, and you have a lot of people here who aren't going to testify. I'd ask people to stand up if you are supportive of this as a neighborhood park and a regional park.
Not
appropriate. Okay. Sorry.
So I did have one question further, probably for Bob. Mr. Janik's statement that this property is not on any metro critical open space or critical habitat inventory. I just wonder what your response was to that.
The parcels near the slough are, in fact, on that. One of the challenges of inventories is it simply looks at intact existing habitat, high-quality intact existing habitat. And so the problem is that most of the habitat we have left in the region is somewhat incidental. You know, we didn't go in and protect habitat first and then develop around it. And so you have places that are higher quality that make those inventories. But those alone aren't sufficient, and I think Metro clearly articulated the fact that more than that needs to happen. These are simply the sites that are the best, and the idea is to protect the best and restore the rest. And so they go in and, through regulations, protect, in Metro's case, riparian areas. But there's a recognition that you need to do more than that. You need to find other sites to restore as well to make those habitats function.
Okay.
So the outer parts of that property, because they're golf course, because they're manicured, because they're not managed as habitat, don't make it onto the Goal 5 inventory. Nonetheless, they are the kind of sites that have tremendous restoration potential if we want to go that route.
Okay. Thank you. Any further questions? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
So now we will hear from, what's the right word? The supporters of the opponents, I guess.
Right.
And supporters of the opponents. So, Sue, please call the first three.
We have 23 who've signed up.
Okay.
Will Brad Dennis, Aaron Bergman, and Jim Gersbach come up? And they will be followed by Nicole Copen, Tamara DeRitter, and Albert Kaufman.
Okay, well, welcome. If you could please state your name for the record, and you each have 2 minutes.
All right, my name is Brad Dennis. I'm here representing the Portland Youth and Elders Council. We're also on Columbia Boulevard. The Youth and Elders Council urge you to deny the request to rezone Colwood for open space to industrial. We would like to see all 138 acres of Colwood Golf Course reserved as green and open space. A vote to do so would demonstrate adherence to Portland's environment and neighborhoods, as the Colley Concordia neighborhood lacks areas of this kind. As stated in Portland's 2020 plan, Portlanders view parks as part of the fabric of the city, as appealing gathering places where they can carry on leisure, cultural, and social activities. The Portland Youth and Elders Council has also discussed the need for culturally specific park programming in Portland in general and the Cauley Concordia neighborhood specifically. The Colwood Golf Course area could provide space for culturally specific park programming to take place. The Cauley neighborhood is the largest concentration of Native American people in all of Portland. Many Portland Youth and Elders Council members live in this neighborhood and would be greatly affected, or negatively affected, by proposed rezoning to industrial. Colwood Golf Course is also within 1 mile of the Native American Youth and Family Center and Early College Academy. In your vote, consider the need for culturally specific park programming. We particularly support Portland's 2030 Planet State, that the city has developed and implemented a policy of zero net loss of green and open spaces. We would like you to prioritize the natural environment and policies and decisions, as this plan stated you would. We also agree with the 2030 Plan's position that sustainability does not have to harm the economy, but gives us a competitive advantage. It is Portland's value of sustainability that makes Portland an ideal place to live in economically, environmentally, and socially. And as a result, businesses are attracted to and flourish in Portland. We firmly believe your continued protection of our open green spaces increases our neighborhood's value and Portland's far more than the short-term gains a warehouse would provide at this location. Vote to keep Colwood Gorse green and an open space. Sincerely, Portland Youth and Elders Council. Thank you.
Thank you. Erwin?
My name is Irvin Bergman. I have submitted a written testimony, and I'd like to just follow up with a very brief oral testimony. Again, I'm testifying in opposition of the rezoning of Colwood to an industrial sanctuary. The 138-acre Colwood property should in its entirety remain an open space and ultimately be acquired as a regional, not just as a neighborhood park. There is indeed a human need for recreation in Cauley and in Portland. The hearing officer recognized the value and importance of the 130-acre open space Colwood property by finding that within the present 5,700-acre industrial sanctuary, all the way from Troutdale to Kelly Point, any remaining open space is a precious and limited quantity resource which would be extremely difficult to replace. He further stated that Colwood as an open space is unique, is practically irreplaceable asset, and that should be rezoned. Now, I would specifically address one issue that may weigh heavily on your decision, namely the proposed purchase of the northernmost 43-acre Colwood section by PDX, now authorized by the Port Commission. This acquisition was to satisfy land requirements of PDX identified in the 2000 master plan. Current planning efforts clearly show that the 2000 extended projection lost all validity and that PDX does not now nor will have in the future documented need for this property segment. Failed rezoning efforts will have no adverse impacts on PDX operation now anytime in the future. In a nutshell, the third runway and its overrun area is dead. It will never materialize. Likewise, the new terminal specifically, the southern option including its access road to the Colwood property is dead likewise. Envisioned cargo handling could also continue without Colwood, thus there would be no adverse impacts to PDX operation. Continuous sluggish aviation has been identified by Airport Futures within its 2035 planning horizon. There exists even something.
Erwin, you're going to have to wrap up. Finish your sentence.
To believe that these underlying factors of global warming and high fuel prices will disappear is at your peril. Thank you.
Sir.
Good evening. Jim Gershbach. I'm a resident of the Concordia neighborhood, live at Northeast 35th and Ainsworth area. I'm submitted written testimony. I'm just going to make my verbal remarks quite brief. I think this vote is really one about whether or not zoning of open space results in any protection at all for land. So my comments tonight are really around when we've zoned open space for the city and citizens of Portland, what encroachment can protection against encroachment on these open spaces are we going to receive from our elected political officials? No one in opposition or no one who has supported this change to industrial land has identified any other 130-acre parcel in the vicinity of the Cully Concordia Northeast area that can be available to the citizens for open space. Open space, by definition, is designed to be the green lungs and the green kidneys of our waterways and our airsheds. When we convert what's left, the two remnant parts of our community that are still green spaces are these golf courses. As you can see there, they sort of stick out as the last remnants of our Columbia Slough. To remove those is like taking the last protection that we have in that neighborhood for clean air and clean water. The points, human health that's been affected by the noise and the air pollution that's been mentioned before, I think this is only adding to the pollution burden and the human health burdens of the Cully Concordia residents. We've also heard that that's worth trading so we can get more jobs. But I would submit that there's always going to be pressure from people wanting to turn open land to other purposes. What do we as a city do when we face these pressures? Do we simply say, okay, for the short-term gains and jobs, we're going to eliminate a resource that can never really be replaced? So it's irreplaceable open space. And those jobs that might be created have to be offset with the kind of jobs that have been created in Portland have been jobs that have been created a lot of people coming here because of the quality of life. And we're going to lose quality of life, so we may end up losing jobs in the long term.
Thank you.
The next three are Nicole Copen, Tamara DeRitter, and Albert Kaufman. They'll be followed by Rich Gunderson, Regina Williams, and Robin Denberg, if I have that name correct.
Okay, welcome.
Thanks.
You each have 2 minutes, and where do you want to start? You want to start with you?
I'll start. Okay. Thanks. Good evening, Commissioners. My name is Nicole Copen. As a member of the Portland Multnomah Food Policy Council, which supports keeping Colwood zones as open space, I would like to acknowledge a community food assessment published in June 2008 by the Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon, which reviewed food access issues for the Cully and surrounding neighborhoods. This assessment showed minimal or poor access to food resources, including grocery stores, community gardens, farmers markets, or emergency food sites. With more apartments and infill being developed in this area, the need and desire for food access will only increase. As a concerned citizen, I helped table at the Concordia Neighborhood New Seasons on Sunday to inform the local Northeast community about the possibility of Colwood being rezoned as industrial. As part of my two-hour service there, I asked what their vision for 140 acres of space in the Cully neighborhood would be. So here are some answers. Top 47 acres, active baseball fields, urban gardens, community-supported agriculture, leave it alone, remove fake greens, plant fruit trees and nut trees instead, start a sustainable living project, restore the Columbia Slough to what it was 100 years ago, a second site for Dignity Village, a golf course, pilot project to train new and old farmers ecological farming to grow food for the Oregon Food Bank, institutions, and missions, a prime tourist attraction destination from airport, turn it into a park, preserve wildlife, Lover's Lane, education center for the Slough. Hold on, sorry. You like that? basketball court, meditation maze, dog park, RV parking, urban beekeeping collective, and so on. If Colwood is rezoned, it eliminates a huge tract of land that has enormous potential to satisfy both the community's desires and needs. Please keep Colwood zones as open space.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, my name's Tamara DeRitter. I'm of TDR and Associates. I'm a land use planner, and I'm also representing Rose City Park Neighborhood Association in opposing the rezone for this proposed industrial space. Cully contains about 14,000 people currently, and the population is likely to double over the next 20 years. There are amazing needs, including park needs. I think it was mentioned that there's one park acre per 2,700 people in this neighborhood. And the average is one park acre per 40 people. Even with the Thomas Cully Park being proposed, which is on a capped landfill, of all things, and structures and other amenities on the site are questionable because it is a capped landfill, that they will still be 5 times more in need of park than any neighborhood we currently have. They don't have adequate schools or green spaces. Those are actually to be exceeded in population over the next 10 to 20 years. So right now, this population has substandard parks. It has very little access. Only 55% of their roadways are improved to city standards. They don't have sidewalks. And they have one of the highest growing populations, over 3 to 4 persons per household in the Hispanic and multi-ethnic populations. There are health needs, and I want to reiterate what Jim had mentioned earlier. Open space serves as a breathing point and an outlet for both health needs as well as providing a buffer, a noise buffer, a sound buffer, and a buffer from benzene and other carbon monoxide from the airports.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Did you want to testify, sir?
Yeah. Yes, that's why I'm here. I'm Albert Kaufman. I live in the Kearns neighborhood. I wanted to congratulate Commissioner Adams and also welcome Commissioner Fish. And I'm hoping to see another commissioner up there who was here in the audience earlier tonight. I have been a big fan of turning golf courses into gardens, into other uses for a long time. I used to be very active in a group in Seattle that took the Jefferson Golf Course and Jefferson Park and has taken some of the reservoir land and turned it into open space. And they've taken some of the money from their parks bond and spent about $11 million to create a park in an area that didn't have very much parkland and very much access for people who lived in the neighborhood. And it's been a huge success. I'm very proud of that activity. So when I heard about 3 years ago as president of the Beaumont-Wilshire Neighborhood Association that the Colwood Golf Course was going to be for sale and that there was going to be a possible rezoning, I started participating in the community neighborhood group in the Northeast and got involved and have been sort of following this ever since. I'm very much in favor of keeping the designation open space. I think that the claim that there can be 1,900 jobs there and could very well be seen on the other side. This could easily become a place where farming and it could become sort of an urban farming training institute where we could be teaching ourselves how to farm. I think that, you know, the chance of us continuing to get food from Chile and New Zealand is going to lessen, and we're going to probably need to figure out sooner rather than later how to feed ourselves. So I urge you to, for that reason, as well as many of the good reasons that the other supporters here who have been testifying in front of you, and please keep this open space. Thank you.
Thank you. Next three.
Next three are Rich Gunderson, Regina Williams, and Robin Denberg, followed by Bill Barber, Nancy Hatch, and Terry Parker. Is Robin here? You're Robin.
Here.
All right. Will Bill Barber come up then?
Okay. Well, welcome. You each have 2 minutes. Please state your name for the record, and we'll start with you, sir.
Hey, I'm Rich Gunderson. I worked for the city for 25 years in Parks and Recreation, and of those 17 years, I was on the Bureau's management team from 1980 to 1997. I know for certain, over those 25 years, the city has funded the forestry division of the Park Bureau. The dollar amount has to be in the millions. The mission of the forestry division was threefold. Number one, to plant trees. Two, to protect existing trees. And three, to promote a healthy tree canopy. Since the city has invested millions of dollars already towards the above mission, I encourage you to continue to show leadership as a city in protecting trees. If the Colwood property is not protected by the open space designation, over 500 trees will become endangered. I strongly urge you to accept the hearings officer's recommendation to keep the Colwood property as open space. Thank you.
Good evening, Commissioners. My name is Robin Denberg. I'm a longtime Concordia resident. I want to discuss the impact of Parcel 1, which is the very top or northernmost portion, and if time, why the applicant has not met the burden of proof for the rezoning. Notably, public health, environmental, and opportunity costs clearly outweigh any benefits, and Parcel 1 is a great example. With this rezoning request, one thing is clear according to legal experts. If Parcel 1 is rezoned, there will be no way to stop the port from placing a third runway there. Once the land is rezoned, the city gives away its one and only instrument to have any sway over that land. If you go against the hearings officer, the city loses any say for future generations. The latest argument is that the port doesn't foresee a need for another runway for 25 years. Yet notably, port staff have stated recently that it is not permanently off the table and would be used for taxiing planes in the future. Additionally, in the 2000 port master plan, it clearly shows the likelihood of Colwood becoming a new runway. The burden of the hearings officer's decision is really important, but the burden is being placed on the applicant, and I don't feel that the applicant has carried out the burden of proof that each and every, not some, approval criteria have been satisfied. So in conclusion, there's nothing to gain and everything to lose by going against the hearing officer's recommendation, and I would request that you please preserve this area, that you vote no on the rezone. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Bill Barber, and I'm representing Central Northeast Neighbors Coalition. And first, thank you very much for having an evening hearing. I want to speak on behalf of our coalition, and we feel like the hearing officer got it right. What we're talking about tonight, in many respects, is balance. And I think the hearings officer hit it out of the park in terms of really, you know, saying this is a hard case. He balanced economic development against open space, and he came to a difficult conclusion that open space is more important in this case. The SLU is a real important piece of what we're looking at. If you look at the air photos and the maps, to me, this area, it's like a green string of pearls. The SLU connects the Colwood course. We talked about Broadmoor earlier. It also goes further to the west and to the east, all the way east to Blue Lake Park and all the way west, really, to Kelly Point Park. So we really have to think as a system, as a natural system. I want you to think about that. Kind of in contrast to kind of narrowing in on Colwood as the applicant has suggested and saying it's kind of surrounded on all sides. The last thing I want to touch on quickly is in our coalition, we're very supportive of economic development. And in fact, we would like to see more jobs in the Hollywood Town Center. We'd like to see more jobs along the Sandy Boulevard and Northeast 82nd Avenue corridors. And just to finish, we want to keep hands off of Colwood, and we support the hearings officer's decision. Hope you will, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next three are Nancy Hatch, Terry Parker, Troy Clark, and they will be followed by Don McKinley, Marilyn McVeigh, and Barb Fritz.
Welcome. You each have 2 minutes, and if you could please state your name for the record, and we'll start with you, ma'am.
Okay. I'm Nancy Hatch, and I'm here testifying mainly on behalf of the Sierra Club. I'm a member of the Sierra Club Columbia Groups. That's local Sierra Club Groups Executive Committee. I'm also a member of the Concordia neighborhood and have participated in neighborhood association meetings. The Sierra Club objects to the rezoning proposal for the Colwood Golf Course land and supports the hearing officer's recommendation. I believe that when considering whether or not this property better serves Portland as an open space or industrial sanctuary, it's important to remember that first of all, the entire property needs to be kept zoned as open space. There is already so little non-industrial space in that area, and having a mere 22 acres, most of which has to stay as open space because of its proximity to the Columbia Slough, really doesn't serve much as a purpose. It's also important to realize that whether it's private or public land, having it as open space is still valuable. It provides, in its current state as a golf course, both an area for people to enjoy outdoor recreation, and it also does provide some habitat. You've heard testimony as to some of the birds that are there, as well as to bats. We know that different species of bats do things like eat insects, such as mosquitoes that carry West Nile virus. There's also important to realize that when there's been talk about a park, the talk has been, at least by those who've been supporters of keeping it open space, as being a regional park. I think that's very well known that having a, quote, neighborhood park in that area really doesn't make sense. It's not near neighborhoods. It would be a dangerous place for children to go, but it could have great potential as something like a regional park, something like the Glendover Golf Course, where there's a trail around it, and then also potential for things like a further connection of the multi-use pass.
Thank you. Terry.
Thank you for having us. My name is Terry Parker. I'm a taxpayer, homeowner, and longtime resident of the Rose City Park neighborhood. The Colwood National Golf Course and Open Space is as important to Northeast Portland as Forest Park is to Northwest Portland. Would you break up and sell off Forest Park for the purpose of industrial development? For the good of the people of Portland, specifically the residential neighborhoods of Northeast Portland, the Colwood National Golf Course and Open Space must be preserved. If development is allowed to occur on this pristine piece of property, some of the 500 trees, the rolling lawn landscapes, and the acres of open space wildlife habitat will be gone forever. The Colwood National Golf Course and Open Space needs to be one of the pieces of property at the top of the list to be purchased by the Metro Green Space Program. The last time a golf course property was up for sale, Metro failed to act. The Orenco Woods Golf Course, west of Portland, was purchased by a home builder. Portland is fast becoming overpopulated with high-density heat island development springing up all over the city. The need to preserve existing open space acreage within the city is now greater than ever. Moreover, even though I have not played a game of golf in several years, my personal preference for the Colwood National Golf Course is to retain the majority of the property as a golf course. With energy costs such as they are, the need for close-in recreation facilities of this type is growing and must not be reduced by developing the property. And just like the bicyclists that are so far not required to pay a user fee or bike taxes for use of specialized infrastructure, when in public ownership, the Colwood National Golf Course, along with all other publicly owned golf courses, ought to be free to all users. Listen to the people of Northeast Portland residents are saying. They do not want development to occur on this property. The hearings officer recommendation is correct and needs to be upheld. Any rezoning for the Colwood National Golf Course property needs to be rejected by this council. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Troy Clark. I'm the president of the Friends of Smith and Bybee Lakes. I'm also a founding member of the Columbia Slough Watershed Council. My testimony is a reflection. I saw a document about 15 years ago. I believe it was dated 1968. There was a proposal at that time as the port infrastructure began to move towards T6. The idea was to dredge the Columbia Slough and to dredge Smith and Bybee and make it a deep water or deep draft port or terminal. And it didn't happen. And to this day, we look back 40 years, and we're very fortunate that that idea didn't happen. Smith and Bybee now is a very important wildlife sanctuary. It's one of the 200 important bird areas in the country. Here it is in the city. And I look back at the idea 40 years ago of doing some development there, and I don't know exactly how it panned out, why it was decided not to do it, but we dodged a bullet. Smith and Bybee is great, and I feel that Colwood has the potential, as it's been mentioned before, to be a regional park with significance for the slough and for the region, depending on how it's developed. So consider this, because the decision we make now at this time is going to be looked back on 30, 40 years. And I'm pleased now that we can look back 30, 40 years that in 68 we did not decide to dredge out Smith and Bybee Lakes. Thank you.
Thank you. Next three.
Don McKinley, Merrill
Merrill Ann McVeigh, and Barb Fritz. And they will be followed by Linda Robinson, Jim Wentworth, and Jim Howell.
Welcome. You each have 2 minutes. Please state your name for the record, and we'll start with you.
I'm Barb Fritz, and I'm a resident of Cully Neighborhood and a volunteer Red Cross nurse. And I would like to give apologies to Commissioner Leonard for not visiting him so we could tell him that that chartreuse green spot on the map is a rock quarry, and we know you would have liked to know that.